All right. Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Chen.
Oh, crikey, we going down under this week. Oh, I'm David.
That's right, you dingoes. You're going down out of a brush fire. So.
It is hard to do an Aussie accent because I always wonder, wait, am I sliding into a New Zealand accent? It's hard to tell.
But yes, I guess we, much like Outback and Jetfire, but only in Cybertron, we are going to Australia this week.
Why did they make him Australian in Cybertron? I know
Because
that Scott McNeil was born in Australia, I guess, but that doesn't count.
So do you think it's possible that our new character in this episode is in fact just from Nebulos? And that's why she has that accent?
Oh, shit, she actually has a toy. I didn't know that.
Good. I told you last week that I find it like liminal when there's stuff that is to sell toys that didn't actually get made.
Yeah, I was like 50-50 on whether or not does she have a toy or not. Who
It
knows at
does
this
not
point?
particularly resemble her.
Ah,
But it is
well, the
orange.
alt mode's spot on.
Yes.
The bot mode is kind of, I mean, her robot mode is based upon that. Not,
Yes.
okay, not her head.
No.
The head is way different.
Also, there's
And
stuff like how the Gagoil toy from Inhumanoids, he was gonna have little T-Rex arms, but they costed that out. They were like, no, let's don't give him arms because then it'll be cheaper, and he's so much more distressing with no arms.
the design is worse if he's just like got two limbs
But then they
and a
didn't even make
mouth.
the toy. They made that change for toy budgeting, and then they didn't even make the toy, but that's okay because he came out so much
Well,
worse.
because he didn't get another season. Has anybody ever done like a third party version of that?
No.
I don't know if there's enough interest
All
in.
I've seen is that Nanef did like a little Herc.
Yeah.
Like Herc Armstrong in the armor.
No, I've seen people. I've seen like there's at least a 3D model of like a smaller Gagoil. But it's like not. It's flatter. It's weird. It didn't like have the depth and lack the translucent belly, which is his defining horrifying feature.
It's not okay. It's not okay. But I am glad that she got a toy. I guess I could keep an eye out for that next week when I am engaging in an epic yard crawl. Because there aren't, like, the mainline Transformers don't tend to show up in your flea markets unless it's actually like a collector booth. Like, they don't show up in random boxes of toys that obviously came from like a kid's room, but Rescue Bots do. You do come across the occasional Rescue Bot in a box of like random assorted toys that obviously were at some point a child's.
Hotshot, World Hoist, Medics, and Wedge. Their teamwork together will give them the edge. Rescue Bots Academy. Roll to the rescue. Roll, 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 roll out.
All right, well, this is the 31st episode of the season, the 83rd episode of the show overall. First aired in the U.S. March 20th, 2021, and is by the frequently seen around here duo Kieran Morrison and Mick O'Hara.
The most Irish possible names.
It's true. Last seen in these parts, writing Campfire Fright.
Well, that was fun.
So they specialize in fire-based episodes?
Oh,
Fire, fire.
that's what I'd want to do. Fire. Fire.
But no, we open. We are in a cavern in a canyon, excavating for a mine.
Oh, yes, mine cart trolley problem fun.
Yep.
How, like, I realize that when there are mine accidents, they are like extremely dire and a big deal, but do they really occur often enough that they need to do this much training for them?
I mean, I would imagine not as much anymore.
No.
But, I mean, there are lots of mines on Griffin Rock, and who knows how many mines are located wherever they currently are in the base. That's maybe in Maine, maybe closer to Florida.
Yeah.
Somewhere with pine trees.
Mm.
Or palm trees.
But I guess, so she's got to... She's got to flip the switch here and put this mine cart on a different track before it crashes. But unfortunately...
But which switch?
Yes. She's having a real crisis of confidence here. And she is waiting for the other... For the rest of the gang to catch up so they can tell her which one to do. Unfortunately...
there's a red one and a green one.
Yes. Unfortunately, the mine cart gets there first and just straight up slams into this rock wall. Rocks fall, everyone dies, etc.
Womp womp.
I don't even think
simulation failed.
It looks like just the minecart slams into the wall, and that's the end of it. Because the other guys show up.
Yeah, I'm surprised that
it doesn't seem like what the problem was. Like it wasn't even like Tough Luck Chuck was in the minecart or something. It was just
I figured that we would see Chuck in the minecart. Maybe he was, you know, undergoing repairs, and they just had to like pretend he was there.
Maybe they were fixing his business programming. He got stuck doing that again.
They need a stunt dummy for the test dummy.
So the simulation is over, and unfortunately they get a distress call coming from Australia.
Crikey!
Ah, Bonzer.
And apparently they are unaware of anybody who might be in Australia, which is weird. As we're going to get to?
Yeah, would think that they would keep tabs on each other better, but
it
who knows?
Understands the kiddos don't know, because they're the kiddos. They've only met some Dinobots and a few other robots on Earth. But Heatwave don't know, which
no.
strikes me as odd. Like,
it's possible that Heatwave is just not organized.
It's possible Heatwave is just not paying attention to things outside of his immediate purview. Like, he's got a lot going on.
That is entirely possible. He's focused on being the head of the school, but...
His own actual responsibilities are significant enough that he can't be keeping track of what, like, Quick Shadow is doing, or, like, where High Tide has gotten off to, or what Sideswipe is doing now. He's got his own stuff going on.
Yeah.
None of that is his problem.
Once we get to the new Transformer, it kind of felt like they just showed up recently and just took up residence in Australia.
I mean, maybe.
This is possible.
I mean, like, Wheeljack had a ship and just, like, showed up one day in Prime, mm-hmm. specifically.
So, they arrive in Australia, and they're worried about, you know, being discreet with the local residents, but because this is the Australian Outback... There are no local residents.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, and when we see, like, oh, they track the signal, it's in Australia, and, like, the dot's, like, dead center of Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Away from population center.
And it is. That's not just, like, map shenanigans that you get a lot of times in cartoons. It is actually the dead center of Australia.
And you know, your only neighbors around here are going to be, like, Lord Humongous. And, like, the mid-80s X-Men.
And some emus.
Now, fortunately, because they're robots, they don't have to worry about the most notorious feature of Australia. So they are not affected by venomous creatures.
It's true.
The many,
although it turns
many
out the
venomous
local wildlife
creatures.
Are going to be a problem.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's like... Well, because in the warning, like, the new robot said, oh, there's a mob coming. The mob keeps coming through. I was like, I'm thinking, like, the mafia? They moved to Australia?
I mean, that seemed
to be... Yeah, see, we're taking the Outback here. See? And yeah.
They didn't go too hard into it, but that also seemed to be what the rescue bots were assuming, was that they were coming in to help deal with some sort of organized crime situation.
And then it was like, okay, it's going to be a whole horde of some kind of animal... And as the dust cloud was approaching, I was guessing, I was like, rabbits?
Nope.
And then it's like, oh no, mob actually does mean a specific group of animals.
Kangaroo. Yes.
Yeah. Or
it's the mob-a-roos.
It should have been that cane toads.
I'm so sorry to any of our listeners in Australia.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to do it in a while. So we're overdosing on Aussie slang.
My favorite thing that I have learned about Australia relatively recently is that they have these beautiful birds that are, however, such an urban encroachment that they just refer to them as bin chickens.
bin chickens.
Which, I mean, I guess that's kind of like how other people... I mean, raccoons are not especially majestic. I was going to say it might be like how other people feel about the way we are about raccoons as just, you know, they're like neat and exotic to people who are not from North America, but we're just like trash pandas. But
yes, I did just look up bin chickens, and it's a kind of ibis, which is a neat kind of looking bird, but then you look at all the pictures of what the fuck they're doing to earn the nickname bin chickens. Yeah, that's an appropriate nickname.
Yes, they are the Australian white ibis, and they look majestic, but yes, they are just...
They're just like giant pigeons.
Problem. They are just an urban encroachment.
Yeah.
So they get to a nearby farm. It is totally deserted, but someone is there, because there is just this orange sort of ATV-looking thing there.
Yeah, first I thought it was just a regular ATV, the hotshots leaning up against it. It isn't until a few shots later when she transforms again. There's an ATV, but the rear act... Like, it's a half track. It's half treads. Yes. I've never seen an ATV like that. I mean, it's either all treads or all tires.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a real thing that exists.
Half tracks are a thing from, like, the 40s.
This is indeed brushed fire. voiced by Bimini Wright, who is actually Australian. So this is her actual accent, I assume.
Nice.
Okay.
It's not just a Jim Cummings situation.
No. Or whoever is voicing Australian Wolverine. And she tells them, yes, indeed, a mob has been terrifying a local town, and it's a mob of kangaroos.
Oh, Bonzer.
Yes. But it turns out that they are actually being driven away or driven towards the town by a raging fire.
Oh! Small note. Mm. Brush Fire's face doesn't match her toy.
No, it does not.
Like half the design. She has a feline face like she's from Robots in Disguise.
Oh, yeah, she does kind of have that cat face.
Yeah, it's even sort of got the ears.
Yeah. Huh. Well, maybe she's actually like. Maybe she actually like escaped from the ship in Robots in Disguise.
Oh no!
Maybe like
the Alcamor.
Alcamor,
that
was.
She's an Alcamor escapee pretending to be just a harmless little Autobot.
Yeah, I think she's the first bot in at least Rescue Bots Academy. I don't remember regular Rescue Bots have. Well, they didn't have as many character that has like an animal-y face, like they're from Robots in Disguise.
Yes.
Which is neat.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently in her toy at least came with a Minicon bear named Sequoia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's adorable. How are you getting a bear in Australia?
I was going to say, do they have bears down there?
Just drop bears.
That's not real,
I think, unless
though.
They get... No, sun bears are Southeast Asia, well, Japan.
Wallet bears. Stuff,
but... Yeah,
yes, but
they're
not
bears. Ursine. They're just called bears.
So it turns out there are, in fact, three different fires that are a raging.
Mm.
So Whirl is with Brush Fire. The other two, you know, so she wants help from all the others, especially Hotshot, because he's the fire truck guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's busy fighting his own fire, as is the other group. So Whirl and Brush Fire are pretty much on their own. They do actually put theirs out, but that means that the other two are not contained, and then they combine into one giant fire.
They do some nice firefighting tips, like pruning down the bushes to reduce the amount of fuel and all of that.
Digging a ditch and things. But yeah, the two remaining chunks come together to form a firestorm, which is visualized as basically a tornado of fire, which I guess fire does do.
Usually I visualize firestorm as like a guy with poofy sleeves and also his head's on fire.
Yeah, yes. Like with the flames out of
and
the
there's like... there's like a little ghost of like a college professor hovering around his head somewhere.
He's got one of those like... more common in the 90s, like, head protector sleeves that's open on the top.
Yes.
And the top's on fire.
Well, except it's open on the top because it looks like his brains are on fire.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the, what is it, Gambit mask?
Yeah, the, like, Gambit head thing.
Gambit mask / head sock.
Yes, the head sock.
Oh, Firestorm. I will always mock your poofy sleeves.
It's fair. It's fair.
So, Brush Fire, you know, she's been studying the locals, and she knows that they've been using divining rods to find underground water.
Holy fuck, like, wow, I have not done a 180 on an episode like this in a while. Like, I was enjoying the episode, Brush Guard was interesting, and then she pulls out fucking divining rod, dowsing nonsense. Fuck you, lady.
I mean, she's using like actual like advanced technology.
Admittedly, yes. After explaining that,
and then shaped like a divining rod.
I did appreciate that. Hotshot and the other kiddos were like, "Wait a minute, yeah. That sounds like bullshit."
Medics was like, "That sounds fake,"
without actually saying it out loud. Yeah.
And she's like, I know that's...
And then she pulls out, I made a high-tech version, which looks exactly like a Y divining rod thing, because it's like, you didn't need to do that.
It's made with Cybertronian scanner technology.
You could have metaphored and pulled out a tricorder. Just hand me a tricorder. Like, pissed me the
fuck
off.
Cute little flavor.
That's the kind of shit we would hear when we were kids. And it's been long proved, even back then, that this is fucking bullshit. Divining rods are nonsense.
Yeah, but she didn't...
Yes.
Dowsing doesn't work any better than random chance. It's one of those little things that...
But she didn't actually use it for that. It was just her aesthetic...
No!
Her aesthetic... yeah.
Her aesthetic, yeah. But it's...
Inspiration. Her aesthetic inspiration.
It's just one of those little... things that pisses me off. I'll forgive you in a story that's fictional. You have psychic powers, goddamn Gundam nonsense, but dowsing rods piss me off. Anyway, Whirl plays with one and thinks she's found a spot, but she isn't sure, doubting herself, and yet... You have the high-tech thing. Nobody else's thing were beeping. Although, since everybody else has one, it's like, why doesn't everybody else come over with their beepy rod and see if it beeps where she found the beeps?
No, she needs to learn to trust herself.
Like, why does she even have to say, are you sure it's here, when her thing's beeping?
What?
I mean, I understand the message of the episode. However, the logic set up in the episode doesn't work that way. It's like either the BP thing works and the other BP thing should work or not. It's like, if I only had time to make one of these, Whirl, you use it. No, there was like three or four of the fucking things. Like I said, I turned on this episode hard.
Anyway, so they find some water. Whirl rescues an adorable baby kangaroo in her helicopter mode. She does it all by herself.
A Joey.
Yes.
A Joey that was trapped in a burning ring of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Down, 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 down under in a burning ring of fire.
So the fire is out, the kangaroos are safe, and Brushfire gets an invite back to the... Academy, but she's all like, you know, I wouldn't live in the absolute middle of nowhere, Australia, if I like people. So, sorry, guys. Yeah.
Like, nah, I'm just a one-episode guest star.
Yep. But she will return.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, she got a toy, so yeah, I would assume they'd try to bring her back. Then again, this season very much feels like it's like, oh, we're setting up, we're going to get another season after this and follow up with more characters and bring them back, and there's no other season.
Alas, no.
Well, she's got, what, 20 episodes to do it? She's got 20 episodes to do it.
20? Oh, geez.
Yep.
Sometimes it feels like we're way deep into this season, and yet it's like, okay, there's still more to go. Okay,
that's,
we're not
a long
done with
season.
It yet. We still have more kiddos.
Ugh. Yeah. All right, so that brings us to the second episode, The Ties That Bind. And in this case, it's The Ties That Bind You to Some Jerk.
He's such a jerk.
I knew that this would inspire deep-rooted homicidal feelings in Jen.
Yeah, he's the worst. He's the worst, and it's a shame because he looks extremely 1991. But nonetheless, he is the worst.
I guess he's the worst character in this series. He's just annoying.
Yes, definitely.
Well, especially since he's effectively Hotshot's rival, and Hotshot isn't in this episode, really.
No. So this is the 32nd episode of the season, the 84th episode of Raw, written by Mark Seal. Last seen writing Heatwave's Shiny Coat.
Well, that was fun.
The one in which there was a dog named Heatwave.
Yay! Oh, yeah. I want to get a dog and name it Heatwave.
So Whirl is trying out her new car mode. She's racing around with Hotshot. She's not quite used to the whole driving thing yet.
They're just being cars, doing car stuff.
Mm.
Instead of steering around obstacles, she just wants to turn into a helicopter and fly over them, yes. Which, I mean, seems relatable.
Yes. So there's another distress call, and unfortunately it is not from their new pal in Australia. It is from Scorch, Hotshot's dumbass friend. He's in car mode, he's run out of energon, and he's afraid of heights, so she can't just turn into a helicopter and fly him back.
And airlift him. And he keeps insisting on calling her Fly Girl, even though she has objected to this, which is... It's not cool, man. It's not cool.
No.
Listen, he's...
Do a joke.
He's been going through Earth's television history, and he's become enamored with In Living Color.
Yeah, that's where I was going to.
He's being the kind of guy in a 90s movie who would unfortunately end up being romantically successful by the end, and I would hate it a lot.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, this does kind of have like that buddy movie dynamic.
Yeah.
Like they've got to pull a midnight run here. Or a 48 hours.
Or a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It would be less grating if he was doing this to, like, Hoist or somebody.
Yes.
Or Medics, who would just not be having it.
Yeah, it's the Fly Girl bit that gets it over the thing. It's like...
It's the calling her a nickname that she has asked him not to call her.
Yeah.
It does feel kind of like he's trying to flirt with her, but he's too unpleasant for her to realize it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's also, like, way up in, like, the mountains or something here.
Well, he's in, like, the sand. He's in the desert.
Yes.
But then he's also...
But then
there's
it's near
ice
the mountains.
At one point.
Yeah,
I have a
and
lot
also
of...
There's, yeah, I have no idea where this is
questions.
Supposed to be. Are they high up enough that there's ice, I guess?
I have a lot of questions about the geography of this location.
Yeah. And this is all along a path to wherever the Academy base is.
Yes. I mean, I assume this was written by a British person who has just, like, seen various movies that take place in America, and he thinks they take, like, that America is the size of England.
Oh, yeah, like... Oh, like, well, for the very short period of time when the soccer was over here, and people were also thinking about, oh, I'll do a cross-country road trip in a couple of days. What?
Yeah,
no.
That's not a real thing here.
I mean, if you don't want to see anything, you can do that.
Yeah, you know, we'll go to New York. We'll pop over to L.A. and you know, then we'll go to Miami. You know, 3 days tops.
Just normal stuff.
Yeah, it is adorable how British people are just confused by how fucking big we are.
It's big over here.
Yes, because England is smaller than New England. Well, actually, no, England is about the size of New England, but my brain tends to lump in Jersey and New York also in New England because we're so close.
The King of England came out here and got to be impressed at, like, the Shenandoah Valley. That was just the Shenandoah Valley.
I don't know that there is, like, a UK band that released a song called In a Big Country that is somehow about, like, Scotland.
Yeah. And the band is called Big Country.
Yes.
It's not that big. It's not that big, guys. No.
I do kind of love when a band has a song that's the same name as their band.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yes, but no. Like, some bands' names are just, like, too silly. Oh, what is it? No, it's not The that has a self-titled one. What is the other one?
I think Bad Company is a pretty good song by Bad Company.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they do tend to be good songs, the name after them, but like, it's also confusing when you're trying to... Oh, is there a band called Yes or something that has a self-titled one?
I mean, there is a prog rock band called Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. There's one that's come on the radio a few times. That it's like, wow, your band name is so simple and dumb, and you have a song named after it. It's like, no.
Well, I mean, David, you definitely know the band Yes.
Oh.
If you've ever seen the end of an episode of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
What? Which season is the problem? Did they do Roundabout?
They did Roundabout.
Okay, they did Roundabout. Okay. Then I'm thinking about a different band, I think. But, oh, Roundabout's so good. That song I knew before JoJo.
Okay, then.
It's really good.
I mean, I know that's like how the youth have been exposed to it.
The younglings.
Yeah. It's either that or it's on like TikTok or something. I don't know.
No, I'm more pleased that, like, younglings have heard of, like, Walk Like an Egyptian because of JoJo.
Fantastic.
I don't know what songs they're using now. Anyway.
So, yeah, she is, you know, she is really trundling. She's just got him hogtied to the back of her car mode here. They're going pretty slowly.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because they're on, like, this treacherous mountain road.
Because his energon levels are so low, he can't transform again.
Yes.
But he can still talk and communicate over his little screen thingy.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess transforming does take a lot of energy, whatever.
And she doesn't really know how to, like, drive herself. So he kind of, like, has to tell her how to, he has to mansplain how to change gears.
Yeah.
Because it's a rocky cliff and rocks are falling down, which, mm-hmm. like, that's... Not, I mean, technically, yes, there are some rocky cliffs that have signs that beware of falling rocks, but that's not a normal daily occurrence on said roads.
Also, while we're at it, this whole episode is just about him making bad decisions and then making it everyone else's problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, generally, the rocks are not constantly falling. They're just occasionally falling.
Mm-hmm. And then they've also got to stop to save a mountain climber.
Yes.
Oh yeah, after the black ice part.
And she has to do
the mountain climber part was like it's a free climbing mountain climber on like a rock mountain you'd find out in like Death Valley or something.
Yeah.
But they're on an icy mountain road.
Yeah.
It's windy across from it. Where the fuck are we?
Like this should be happening in like the opening credits of Mission Impossible 2. I don't know why this guy's doing this be above, like, a busy thoroughfare.
Yeah.
For the thrills. I mean, it's not that busy.
Well, no, but it's an actual road, though, which is crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I don't know you're just supposed to climb mountains that you drive up.
I mean, I guess that way somebody can pick you up at the top and
drive
you back down. Yeah.
And how they rescue him, like, makes no sense to me.
It looks like a stunt out of one of those, like, Vin Diesel XXX movies.
It seems incredibly perilous. So yes, he talks her through accelerating properly to hit this part of the road as a ramp. And then she comes over and manages to hit his rope so that
her
it breaks.
Cuts the rope.
And then
he falls, but somehow, like, he's behind.
Yeah, Scorch is a little bit lower. So because he's a little bit lower, he manages to get the mountain climber on his hood. Yeah.
The mountain climber splats into his hood and should be dead.
Yeah, it's all extremely perilous. Like, wow.
Like, he should be cleaning that guy off with his windshield wipers.
Yes.
Yeah. And then somehow they land on another chunk of road under the cliff that he was climbing. What?
How? It's fine. It's fine.
And then a giant rock is about to crush her, so Scorch uses the last of his Energon to transform, catch it, and then he's just, like, totally frozen in place.
Yeah, then he's stasis locked.
Because he used the very last drop of Energon to transform so he could keep the rock from falling on her. Mm-hmm. Which I guess is nice. I guess. Mm.
And then luckily that also just, like, freezes him like he's been gazed at by Medusa, as opposed to, like, making him, like, collapse and then dropping this big rock on Whirl.
Yeah, well,
when,
like,
she flies off with him, he's flopping around, but I guess for a moment he is, like, absolutely stuck solid.
I thought he was stiff. Okay, yeah.
And then on one hand she's distressed, but on the other hand she's probably thinking, oh, I should have done this ages ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Get him to shut up.
I'm using my helicopter mode and he's not talking.
Yay!
And shut up, and I can carry him. We're going to get there quicker, and I've reinvented a new word, wearisome.
Yes.
Which is kind of actually a different, an actual word, but not from the postmortem or portmanteau she came up with.
It's not made out of weird and awesome.
So Medics is able to get him back on his feet, and Whirl is now friends with him. And now they're going to race, and Hotshot has to get involved in it because his whole thing is being involved in races.
Then they race. They got to have a race. It's time for a race.
Is that the G2 GoBot that has the motto, "Let's race"?
I believe so, yeah. That's one of them.
Also, I believe his Armada motto was, "Well, let's go." And that is it for us for this week, for our Rescue Bots duo. These are both pretty enjoyable episodes. Obviously we're not crazy about the dowsing rod in the first one.
No, and Scorch himself in the second episode ain't great. I mean, having two Whirl episodes is fine.
Yeah, we are big fans of Whirl around here.
Having back-to-back of the same character is, well, you can mix it up, but whatever. It's fine.
Nope, time for Whirl. Look, it's better than having, like, a bunch of Hotshot episodes.
It's true.
Well, yeah, that was the first season.
I will absolutely take a pair of Whirl episodes over a pair of Hotshot episodes.
Yes. All right, and of course, with that, we'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots action. But of course, until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Facebook, we are on Blue Sky, and we have a Patreon.
I set up the Facebook page again, too, so we are back to being on Facebook.
Excellent.
But yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is patreon.com/iaconunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us with our hosting fees and also get access to our monthly special episodes where we do something kind of fun, either tying in with something cool that's coming up or just something interesting that we're checking off our to-do list. For July, we chose to do the former and to tie in with Spider-Man Brand New Day, which has opened at this time. Avoid spoilers if you can. But that for that, we did a couple episodes. We did the oldest thing that we have done so far. We went back to a couple episodes of the old Spider-Man cartoon, the 60s one.
Wallop and Web Snappers.
Yes. it was meme-tastic. But yeah, it was a lot of fun watching some of the, like, deep history of Marvel animation. Seeing some of the real archaic stuff. Have we picked something for August yet?
I do not believe we have, I will also note that that Spider-Man cartoon is the only time we have seen something with an actor who I have seen on stage doing Shakespeare.
Well, there you go.
Tune in to find out what I'm talking about.
Yeah, tune in to find out who. Just some Canadian. It's always Canadians. All the Canadians,
all
just
Canadians
know each other and just see each other all the time, just in passing. It's weird. That's because your country is huge, but all the populated parts are concentrated.
Well, that's because all the other parts are too cold or full of bears.
They're getting warmer.
That just makes the bears angry.
That just causes more bears. So, yes, that is on Patreon at patreon.com/IaconUnderground.
All right. So until next time, when we find out the dangers of social media.
Oh, no.
I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David. No, not more social media.
At David.
Who the fuck would be at David?
I don't know.
Some asshole, probably. The check mark.